Amen.
Pastor Karen, we met her in 2006 or seven, and she hasn't aged at all. She looks like, seriously, come on, give it up for the youthful anointing. Amen. No, yeah, you really haven't. It's just so wild. That's in Papa God's presence, we just stay little children. Amen. Well, it's such an honor for us to be here, and I'll just give it to you, and I'll just give it to you so we're not like, hey, who's doing what? But here's what I want to do. I just want to say it's an honor to be here, and we've been looking forward for so long to coming back. And the songs you heard, some of them are released on all the streaming services. Just search Church 14 Music. We've got a new single, that Battle Cry one. That one's coming out April 14th. God's been opening the doors to break into new realms, secular realms, radio, this whole music thing. So I'm not after the music industry for any other reason than I want to see the glory just invade it. Amen. So if you guys could, so it is a ministry that we're starting up. So if you guys would keep that in prayer, just pray for the doors that are opening. You know, we're getting on different radio stations and, you know, starting to get inquiries about different things. We just want Jesus to be made famous. That's really what we want. And I don't know what to say. Every time I come here, I'm like, what can I say about the Father's house? Like, there's so much I can say about the Father's house. Just what a staple it's been, what a foundational. I was just reading Isaiah 2, and I'll probably share a little bit more of it later, where it says the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. There's an establishment. The Lord used this house to help establish us and everything he was calling us to, and now we come back with an innumerable amount of children, as you probably will see a little later. I don't know where they all are. I know some of them are in the back. They're all six of them are back there. You know, it's because we lived with Lois for and Rodney and their kids for a while. We just, you know, you guys just, we got too close, you know? They have like 11 teen kids, if you didn't know. But anyway, I guess so, yeah. It's a transferable one, ladies and gentlemen. But I will have you say, we were really, we had so much stopping us, trying to stop us from coming on this trip, because obviously with eight people, we are eight people now, our family. That's just the mom, dad, and kids. And, you know, so that's not like, there's no plane tickets happening on that one right now. You get what I'm saying? And so so our van had broke down like a week before we were supposed to come up here. And we knew it was just joy fair. And so we just started to thank Jesus. We got on the phone with Karen. She prayed. And everything came in to fix the van within 48 hours of leaving for this trip. And so everything got fixed. And we're all up here. So anyway, without saying a whole lot more, my wife, Millie, has been on an incredible journey for the last, since 2020, really. The Lord's just been downloading so much to her and bringing her into a new place. And she just finished this incredible book. Now, I'm really sad because it's not out yet, but I had, I think, 10 or 15 copies ordered, you know, of before it's out to be here today. They did not arrive in time. However, they're scheduled to arrive tomorrow to Pastor's house. So we have a proof that you guys can check out. And if you want to order one, then you can get yours this week or by next Sunday. They're going to arrive at her house, and then you can make sure to get your copy by maybe if you come next Sunday, or we can coordinate you to get your copy. But anyway, this is just a mind-blowing resource. And a lot of you know that some of the stuff we've walked through since 2019 with the ministry exposure stuff, and it's getting worse and worse. It's hairy out there right now. God's just cleaning house. But it's not getting worse in the sense that as the darkness gets darker, the light's getting brighter. And it's because the light is shining into the darkness. And, you know, God is cleaning house right now. And one of the unfortunate things about when so much is kept in the dark for so long is people get really hurt, people get abused. People not just get neglected, but they get abused, you know, and then they have trauma. And then the Lord, if they're even in a place to trust God after that, they start walking through, you know, on a healing journey through all that trauma. And trauma can do crazy things to you, you know. It's not more powerful than Jesus, but sometimes it feels like it is. I mean, I know firsthand our son Titus, he's taller than me, by the way, if you haven't seen him. He's 13. He's back there. You'll probably see him later. And he was diagnosed with cancer, you know, back in 2015. Most of you guys were super influential in his healing and just going, you know, ramming heaven's door for us. And it's been a journey, you know, but God has been so good. And so I just want you guys to just get ready to just receive and take in whatever the Lord releases through her for you, because she has been on fire and God is releasing a healing fire that's walking people through traumas and, you know, addiction, breaking addictions. And we just came back from Australia, me and Millie. That was wild. I don't know how we found someone to watch all six of our kids for a week, but we did. And we Lee was the main part of it there. She was at our house for a week. And then we had some other people coming in from out of state and people stopping by to check on them. But God moved so powerfully. And one of the biggest things we saw in Australia was the Lord just people just in a ball on the floor, the Lord just walking them through, letting them know he's was not the one doing these things and healing their trauma and the abuse. And just what, you know, sometimes we have to be walked through things step by step. And we need our Father to remind us, hey, I'm not the monster that your earthly father was, you know, or whatever it might be. And so it's really an honor to steward this. And anyway, without further ado, maybe we can just pass this around and then it can end up back on the back table. Just don't take it because it's the only proof we have, okay? So here, go ahead and pass it around so people can take a look at it, and then we'll grab it again. Millie, we just celebrated almost 20 years of marriage, 17 years of marriage, and love you.
Some PDA for you all. Okay, well, glory to God. This is all about Jesus. Yes, it's all about Jesus. He's the grand PDA, you know, that he just loves to hug us. He loves to be with us, embrace us everywhere we're at. And it's so crazy because, like Rob said, God's had me on a journey. And I have spoken here a few times, but there are times I've spoken here like this, shaking, like, Jesus. And it's crazy because 17 years ago, we walked through that door not knowing anybody. And we were dressed in all black, like gothic, you know, angry, you know, no trust anybody. And we walked in, but God had a call in our life. We knew that much, but we had a long way to go. And we walk in and we're, you know, angry and we're thinking, you know, who's gonna stay away from us dressed in all black and all rebellious and gothic and angry, you know? And Pastor Barry and Karen came right up and hugged us all. And we were like, what is wrong with these pastors? And so we're like, I guess they like us. I guess we should stay and hang out. And I know that God led us here. And then they became our spiritual parents. They were the one to send us out, ordain us, and watch us grow up, in a sense. We met you when we were 20 years old. Now I'm 37. And that's crazy. That's 17 years. We've known you as long as we've been married. We met you the first year of our marriage. And God has been so good to us on this journey. God's been so good. And to so many of you, I've known since just about that day, like the Ridleys, my family, the Ridleys, who we lived with. And really, I think about all the people God used along the journey. And so many of you I've seen for so long, and I just thank God for you. I pray for you, and I say, you know, Lord, if you hadn't used those people, we would not be here today. If you hadn't used those people, that book wouldn't be in existence. And it's a little emotional for me, you know, because it's just when God brings you on the journey and you're in it for a long time and you get to see not only what God is doing through the ministry. Sure, we went to Australia and we saw people healed and come into a greater understanding of who God is and who God is in them. And then we come back and we see all the amazing things you guys are still doing and growing. And I know that times are tough. You know, I know, Karen, you said a lot of people had a hard week, right? And that just seems to ebb and flow with life, right? It just, some days are good. Some days are still good by faith. We just speak it, right? And so when I was praying about today, and I was praying about, God, what do you have for the Father's house? My family. my ordaining family, my home, you know, and I feel like I haven't been here forever. We've been all over, and I, like Rob said, we had six kids, and so typically the woman has to birth them. I don't know if that's changed, but so the women are still, sorry, that was too bad of a, I'm sorry. Anyway, so what I feel the Lord's saying for this for this time, don't let the season of oppression steal your season of victory. Okay, so oppression is like when things hanging over you to take from you what's yours. You know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? We already know that. So we know that when there's season of oppression, that's not for us. And the problem is we can give it a voice, though. We can give it the mic. We can just hand it over and say, what negative words do we have today? Hi, Raymond, Abby. What negative words do we have today? What negative thoughts do we have to dwell on? What oppression do we have to dwell in? And we get to choose what we give voice to over our life. I'm not saying that struggles don't get so bad that you can feel in the moment like you don't have a choice, but you can still declare truth over your situation, okay? Don't let your season of oppression steal your season of victory. So how you handle your season of oppression will be indicative of how you enter your season of victory. Will you enter it on time, or will you be traveling around the desert for 40 years before you can enter? Right? There is a way to do things. There's a way to handle the season of oppression. And sometimes it feels like it's powerless. Sometimes it feels like it's too hard to bear. Rob and I were talking on the ride up. We love car rides because it's like the one time we get to talk. And and we get to talking. Yeah, so sometimes we'll take a car ride just for no reason. But on a road trip, we get so excited. We get the kids in the car and they would just, you know, give them snacks and we get to sing and talk and it's so fun. So when we were talking, it was interesting. A conversation about being dangerous came up. We thought about dangerous people, like who we perceive to be dangerous. And I felt like the Lord said, I've created you to be dangerous. Right? So we think dangerous, we think people we are not safe around. But you know, we are a danger to the kingdom of darkness. We are a danger to the season of oppression, right? Because there's plans of the enemy over your life. And so there was a meme that was flying around on social media. I can preach on memes now because that's like socially appropriate to do. So everyone knows what a meme is. You have no excuse. Everyone knows what a meme is, right? So when there was this meme that's when she gets up in the morning and her feet hit the ground and the devil gets scared. That's the kind of Christians we should be. I believe we were called to be dangerous. Dangerous to the plans of the enemy over the lives, over our lives, over the lives of our loved ones, over our family, and over our civilization, our society, our region, what God has called you to, your ministry. There's some of you that have let yourself become victim to the danger of others when God's called you to be dangerous to those threats. And we were talking about that danger, the possibility of suffering harm, injury. We are called to do that. We're called to be dangerous to the enemy. We're called to be dangerous to the demons, the oppression that's attacking your life. We are powerful. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we fall victim to the things that come against us, those thoughts, those things we're wired with, right? Those things we've been told because even our generations above us have been damaged and they didn't know any better. They tried. They gave us the best they could at times. And they left us with these beliefs. And we have to rise up. Because we are called to be powerful. We sometimes forfeit our power to thinking this is just the way things are. This is the way we are now. Right, exactly. How are we? We're dangerous. Can you say that? I am dangerous. I am dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Okay? You are powerful. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord, how did you make me powerful? How did you make me strong? Sometimes we're just praying for a way out. We're just like, God, just open the door. Let me escape. Let me get away. And God said, I've planted you there. I put you there because you're powerful. Why are you believing lies? Why are you thinking you're not dangerous yourself? You're just thinking you're in, and there is a time that people fall victim to things, okay? So when I talk about being a victim, I don't mean that we're never victims to things, okay? That just means something happened that impacted you. But I don't mean we're not supposed to live as victims, right? And sometimes we can open up the door to continue becoming victims because we don't know how powerful we are. I'm too weak to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. I'm too old. I'm too tired. Scripture talks about our weakness, that our weakness is perfected in his strength. This is one of my favorite scriptures. When Titus was diagnosed, as Rob had talked about, and he had talked about this in the past, and you guys were there through the whole journey. So many of you saw that. You saw, you know, we were like, oh, we posted on Facebook. We had to bring our child to the emergency room, hoping it's a virus. We're just going to move on in faith, right? And you saw the diagnosis. You saw we prayed and we said, how will we present this to our family? Everyone who follows us, everyone who travels with us, everyone who gives toward the missions and what God is doing in the nations, how are we going to present this? And God said, you're going to present it in victory. And so we looked up all the pages, you know, all the Facebook pages for children that have cancer and how they, you know, update their friends and partners. And it was all always like, you know, pray for so-and-so and hope for so-and-so. And we said, you know, we're going to declare the victory from day one. Like, it's already done. Maybe the blood counts don't line up with the truth yet, but it's going to. So we're going to declare it with our words and our actions and our public display. Victory for Titus. And today, whew, he is victorious, okay? He is cancer-free. It has never come back. It's never going to come back. And so when you endure something in your life, when that season of oppression comes, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to declare the power that he's given you. Because of what he's done on the cross, he's put in Christ in us, the hope of glory, okay? I'm not trying to discredit feelings, because there's a place, like feelings communicate to us, but they shouldn't run our lives. They cannot dictate our future hope. They cannot say that our feelings are greater than Christ in us, the hope of glory. And sometimes, there's times we have to process those things, and there's times we have to put them aside and say, I'm going to speak the truth over this situation. Victory for Titus. The blood counts will line up, the oncologists will line up, the nurses will line up, the social workers will line up, it'll all line up. But I'm going to declare it first with my words. We don't know how powerful we are. There's power in your words. I mean, this is an age-old teaching. This is scripture, basic baby Christian scripture. But we forget these simple things. We forget it in the moment when it's important, you know? In the moment when everything's talking bad about to us, about us, when we hear those moments of devastation, we can have a lapse in judgment. You know, I became, in the last few years, like I earned my bachelor's degree in counseling, and it was with an emphasis in addiction counseling. And there's one thing that I learned, addiction is such an epidemic. You know, so many people go through it, you know, and I'm telling you, it hits every kind of person. Every socioeconomic status, every race, every gender, every anything, it affects everybody, okay? And so you can really, here's one thing, is never think you're above falling the way you're called to minister to someone else, okay? And I thank God when you don't have to deal with the things that other people have to deal with. But when it comes to addiction, they say that addiction, you know, there's a theory, attachment theory, you know, an addiction could possibly be an attachment disorder, which is why the church community is so essential. This is why the body of Christ is so essential, because the body of Christ could be healing to people that are looking, that are trying to fill and cope with those pains in their heart. But when someone deals with addiction, they found that when you call it a full relapse after they fall one time, they lose hope. You know, they worked really hard. They could be us, could be you guys in this room. So I don't want to say us and them. Anyone who has dealt with addiction, when you fall, there's temptation to say, it's done. I'm going to throw up my keys. I'm going to just leave. I'm going to go, you know, I'm sorry to say that I'm going to go die in this addiction, right? Because that's the plan of the enemy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But when you lapse, they call it a lapse now, because you could just pick up the next day. It is not over. You messed up to yesterday. You could pick up today and move on. You're not some down, dirty, addicted, you know, whatever. You are free. In Jesus Christ, you are free. So today you're going to live like you're free, even though yesterday you didn't. We're not relapsing. You might have had a lapse, but you know who never lapses is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the answer. You could step in the truth of his reality right now and never, ever, ever turn back, okay? You know why? Not because we don't want you to have fun. Because it'll kill you. Really. Okay? And Jesus and freedom and sobriety and health and wholeness is more fun than anything you're going to find out there, okay? Because Jesus is the only one that leads to life. And everything else in the world leads to death, all right? So everything we get to enjoy should be in light of his promise, in light of his truth, right? So we'll talk about that in a minute. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So do not fear. Oh, and I don't know why it repeated it, but it says, I will strengthen you. This is, I've read the Bible, the entire Bible. I did it a couple summers ago. I really wanted to. I was like, I preach the gospel. I need to read the whole Bible. I need to say I at least have done it one time. And now I want to do it again. It's really cool. We may formulate a path that everyone can read through the whole Bible in 40 days, but you have to just commit and cut some of it. Yeah, 40 days read the whole Bible in 40 days. I think it was 30 chapters a day. And you really have to have enough time to do it. So it was like a fasting time that I did it. But it's a beautiful time. So this scripture stood out to me when I did it because throughout my son's cancer journey, I felt so weak. I saw him suffering and I was declaring truth with my words. But it was very hard on me psychologically to see him suffering and declare truth with my words and to stand and be the mother that I needed to be through that time. And so then I saw this scripture and I said, wow, I will strengthen you and help you. So it's not just that in our weakness, his strength is perfected. He doesn't leave us there. You don't have to sit in your weakness and just be like, I need this miracle every day. It's different times, different seasons that we go through that sometimes we can't move and God moves powerfully through us. But then God does promise he will come and strengthen us. So if you feel like you're too weak or you're too tired or you're too worn out, you don't have to stay in that place. God can come in and he will. He promises he will come in and strengthen you and take you from your weakness to a place of strength, to a place of power. He's going to make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Even if you don't feel it right now, you start doing the things. You start activating. You start reading your Bible every day. You start praying every day. You start diving into the word. You start living out that reality. And I promise you, your feelings will eventually line up. And or he will connect you to the resources to help with that also. Because sometimes we do need a little help. Sometimes he leads us. And I talk about that in my new book, but I'll explain that in a little bit. So today we're going to talk about being dangerous for the kingdom and being dangerous in the season of oppression and taking our season of victory on purpose. 17 years ago, I walked through those doors and I was fresh off meds for 1 year. I had been institutionalized. A lot of people know my story. I'd been in group homes. I dropped out of a physics program in college. I wanted to go into physics. I really had a lot of goals. I wasn't some devious person. I didn't have devious interests. I just was broken. And I like to speak to this demographic because people get this idea of a testimony. Like you had to really be a bad motive person to struggle that. And sometimes people struggle not because they have bad motives or they're rebellious in that way. And some people are just truly broken. They mean to do the right things. And I feel like I felt more on this bracket. I always wanted, I was like in college courses in high school and I really wanted to do great things and make a lot of money. And then God called me to ministry. And I was like, come on, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just kidding. But you can't do those things for money. You don't serve the Lord for money. And some, the people that do end up exposed. So praise God for that. So walked through those doors, and I already talked about some of this. You saw the journey. God took us through so many adventures. You guys bought the backpacks for us, 21 nations by land, and we went through all South America, and at times we were, oh, it was very hard. Yeah, hard for you, hard for us too, yeah. And yeah, but you saved our lives several times. We would call and, Karen, we can't access our banks. I don't know what we're going to do. And you, I'm going to run. I'm going to Western Union you. You were amazing. You really, it's so cool to come back and just be with family. So I recently wrote this book that Rob was talking about, Praise Through Sudden Devastation. And this is on a topic that has been really dear to my heart, trauma. I wanted to create a resource for trauma from a Christian worldview that draws people toward healthy church community that celebrates healthy leadership and that also addresses from the perspective of someone who's been hurt, not from the perspective of a high honcho that says, don't be offended, and just walks away. And then people go and you deconstruct every single area of their life, you know. And I think that there's a healthy place for taking apart beliefs that are not good for us. But I think we can get so set in these cliques and these sects that we become just part of another kind of family, and that's the motive. Like, we need to keep Jesus the center of everything. No matter what we are doing with our faith, we need to make sure it's through his lens, make sure it's in the safety of his counsel and love and guidance, okay? So I wrote this book. I wrote it. I had 1 week off of master's classes. I'm so used to writing 10-page papers that I literally was like, I don't know what to do with myself. So I prayed, and God said, write. And I wrote 40,000 words in 1 week, and then got right back into master's classes. I did not read it over one time. I did whatever the Lord said. Just let him write. I type fast. I was like, okay, God. Okay, I'll say this. Okay, Lord. Typed it all out, send it to my editor, and there it's about to be released. And I sent it to several really reputable people in the Lord, people who would call me out if I was wrong. And they, like 10 out of 10, every single one I asked, they were like, this is amazing. This is really going to help the church. This is such a blessing. And some of them were like, this is helping me. Wow. And so I was like, humbled. It's totally the Lord. And so this is a book that talks about trauma. And I don't know a whole lot of resources that are out there right now from a Christian worldview that are not completely psychological. Because I'm telling you, I became a Christian and I struggled. And a lot of you know my testimony. I'm not going to go into all that. I was a self-injurer, borderline personality, bipolar, I collected them all the diagnoses. I got just about all of them. Whatever I don't have, probably did. And in Jesus, I don't. But so it just so happens that I got healed by the Lord, went into ministry, preached the gospel, and then he led me on this journey to become a therapist myself. I'm not there. I'm not a therapist right now. But I'm almost at field placement, which is where I get to start practicing. And it's a really exciting time. But I tell you that to say, number one, it's a testimony of how good God is. Because he will not only take you from the place of where you've suffered, but he will make you a helper in that area. Because you understand it. Because you've been on that other side. And so there are things in your life that you might have been struggling with. You know what I noticed? They have this peer job now. Peer specialist. And it's like where, when you've been through addiction, once you come out of it or come through it long enough, you can be a support to others and you could have a career in it. It's pretty beautiful. It's amazing what God is doing in these fields. And so I asked God for a revelation on trauma. And the reason why I tell you that God has brought me through this far is because there is no therapist office that's going to heal you like Jesus Christ can heal you. Even with these intense mood and personality disorders, they say you can only go in remission. You know, they won't claim healing over you, right? They can't cure you. We can't cure anyone. Only Jesus can. That's why I can never give up what God does at the altar. I would rather have everyone at the altar, right? Getting that healing from Jesus Christ himself, because I'm telling you, that lasts. And there's an amazing, and I'm not talking bad about therapy. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be going into it if I didn't believe that it helps people. And it's got a lot of insight, and I believe it's straight biblical, a lot of it. And so that's I talk a lot about that in the book, but when I see the altar, I see a pool of Bethesda. And I just see people walking away with what they could get 10 years in counseling they could get right here at the altar, right? Jesus is the answer. And so I asked God for information on trauma before I even went back to school. I was like, I want revelation on this. What is this trauma? Everyone talks about childhood trauma. Everyone talks about trauma that happens in your life. Everyone's like kind of consumed with it. It's like the hot topic. So God, tell me what trauma is. Trauma, I'll just tell you, trauma is an interruption, okay? You're doing everything in your life one way, and something happens. Boom. Nothing's the same. Nothing's the same. You don't even realize it when it's happening, right? You start to change as a person. Exactly. You don't know why. You don't know why. You don't know why you start like reacting to people differently. You start getting frustrated more, angry even. You can't even keep your same friends sometimes. You know, maybe you don't want to worship the same anymore or at all. Dare I say that your feelings start telling you that. They start lying to you about God, about people around you, about people who care about you. Start telling you that there's things that can make it easier, like coping that is maladaptive, like that is not good, that is not healthy. Trauma is an interruption. Romans 12:2, he led me to the scripture. And this is the main scripture of the book I just wrote. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There's three parts of this scripture that stand out to me, but let me tell you, when I break this down, you're going to understand why some people go through things and they can no longer tell the will of God for their life anymore. It says it right here. If you conform to the patterns of the world, you're not going to know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You're going to be really confused about who God is and what he wants for your life. And you're going to fall into survival ruts. You're going to just try and make it through. But there's three parts to this scripture that stand out to me. Conform, transform, and renewal. Conforming to the ways of the world is all of those things, those substances, those behaviors, those sexual behaviors, those addictive substances, those alcoholic beverages, all those kinds of things that help your pain in the moment, but slowly deteriorate your brain, your heart, your mind, your soul, your perspective, your motivation to be part of a community, to be part of a church. You start thinking the world's against you. You start thinking your friends are against you. And you start thinking that thing that you're coping with is your best friend. You know what? Maybe you don't even need Jesus anymore. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's the thought that you might have. It's a lie. I'm exposing it by saying it. Then there's transform. And don't make a mistake about this. Once you've conformed, you absolutely still can transform. It's not too late. Okay, there's a bridge from conforming to transformation. And I write about this in my book. Well, the bridge, I'll tell you the real secret key to this bridge from conforming, when you have taken on things, behaviors that keep you stuck in these cages, is I need help. I need help. It's the password, the kingdom password. And so when you are in these conforming ways, you talk to your pastor, you talk to a counselor friend, you talk to someone who's godly, you say, I need help. And you start that journey over to transformation. We all know what transformation is, by the renewing of your mind. But this is the interesting thing, renewing. The word renewal. I didn't actually pull it out, but if you look it up, if you Google it right now, the word renewal. Transform by the renewing of your mind. To renew means to start again after an interruption. God directly addresses trauma in Scripture and how we should go about it. And I get it that some of these things are sneaky, man. The Bible talks about the plans of the enemy being sneaky, right? So he exposed that. And how he does it is through the conforming. He makes conforming look good, like an apple or a fruit. Sorry, not an apple. We don't know. But a fruit on a tree, okay? He makes it look real, like, fruity, right? We love fruit. We want the fruit of the Spirit. So we see a random fruit, and we're like, this looks like a way to handle things. And it just leads to death. But once we renew our mind, how we do it? How do you renew your mind? The Word of God. How else? Daily, praying, prophesying, worshiping, getting together with other people. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Being in community. Isn't that so cool? I love that scripture. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. God gave us. It's not only at the altar. I believe that this is like supernatural pool of Bethesda in modern day. But I believe that he has given us keys within each other. Lois, you have things I need. I have things you need. Right? Hugs, talking. When we talk, when we confess, when we're safe with each other, when we protect each other, when we have each other's back, we love each other with the love of Christ. It provides that healing. That. You know, Jesus said that he finished it on the cross, but he also put it in community. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. I just always thought that was really interesting, okay? So in renewing, there's a fork in the road. And that's that trauma, that interruption. We get to choose. We get to go the fork in the road. We get to go the conforming or transformation. And if you've already chosen conforming, there's always a quick, easy bridge. I need help. Let's get over there. I need prayer. Let me just confess it. Get it out. You don't have to stay in that place. It's honestly really a joyous thing, because the moment you confess your sin, the moment you just get it out, it's off you. It's exposed. It's done. Now, if it's bad enough, if it's like illegal, there may be some things to walk out, right? Because we definitely have to be accountable to our behaviors, especially when there's vulnerable people involved, children, things like that. Jesus is the same. No matter what process you have to go through to come clean from the things that you've been involved in, but That's not the end for you, okay? It's not the end. And no matter where you are, it's not too late. You can still come out, live free, live healing, live wholeness, okay? I work with people all the time. It's incredible the oppression that comes onto someone's life when they choose conformity. It's incredible in a bad way. But it's also incredible what God does when they just speak those words. I need help. I need healing. I need wholeness. God, take my life. And you know what? Don't do it in isolation. Now, a lot of people talk about how God impacts their life and they're like alone in their living room and they're like watching a Christian show or however it happens. But God wants you in community. God wants you in this church. God wants you in healthy churches. God wants you in whole churches. God wants you in churches with leaders. You know, there's scriptures that talk about leaders that give their lives for their people. So we should honor them. We should be there for them. We should be integrous to our leaders. God wants us in community. If you have oppression in your life, sometimes it's an attack from the enemy, but sometimes it's an area of your life that you've conformed to the patterns of the world. And be open to hearing about that, okay? So in the world of addictions, patterns are not so easily broken, but we see addiction broken off people's lives in an instant. So confess your trespass one to another. We just read that, James 5:16, and pray for each other that you may be healed. Check this out, the effective prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You'd be surprised at what happens in your physical health when you confess what's burdening you down. So today, we celebrate healing and transformation and revival. Revival is, you know, so many people waited for a revival. We're in it. It's right now. Congratulations. Welcome to revival. It's right now. Now let's get excited because you have just walked in here. You might not have known that you're not going to walk out the same way you walked in, right? You might not know this. Well, here you go. Welcome to revival. We're in it. And so this means now we get to step in. It's not dependent on if God shows up, he's here. We don't have to wait. He's here. He promised this to us. Okay? So we don't have to wait for a revival. We're the revival, right? And we take it now here out to that street out there. Into your place of work. Into your family. Some of you have family members. You're believing that they'll just come into freedom. They will. And it starts with us. It starts with us. There's so many cool scriptures on how God uses us in our families and how our salvation carries out into those we love. We were just with Patricia King, and she was talking about how there's people ask her all the time about her family members and or about their family members, and she's always like, you know what? It's done. I don't know how it's done, but it's done. You're showing up right now. They're doomed to the kingdom. Right? We're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. We're powerful, right? And so we get to get excited because we get to live out revival. It doesn't have to be some marketed thing, y'all. We get to live it. Get excited. And you know what? All that conforming to the patterns of the world sounds spooky, so strong. It's powerless. He has made it powerless on the cross. And we are so powerful. We are so dangerous to that agenda on our lives. Those generational curses are already broken. They're already broken. The only thing that's keeping people manifesting it is in their mind because they believe it still, because they believe that. And we get to preach the gospel, and they get to believe it. They get to change their mind about it all, right? And they might do that today. But you know what? We can also give voice to those. Such a hard week. So I don't know if I want to preach the gospel today. We've got to get excited. This is not the end. We are still here, you know? And we have everything to look forward to after we go. But we are still here. And we get to preach the good news of the gospel, not only with a microphone, but with our lives. And with our healing and with our wholeness. And by making the choice ourselves. I'm telling you, ministers aren't perfect, right? So let's say you guys minister. It's okay. You can still confess your sins one to another and walk in that healing and wholeness. A lot of the trauma, a lot of the exposures that are happening in the church, some of it has to do with the fact that ministers don't know that they can take a break. People don't know that it's okay. So if you love a minister, if you like some famous minister, I hate that word, famous minister. There's so much there. There's so much there. Yeah. Jesus. Okay? Release that. Release that. It's about Jesus. Yo, let's not push superstar Christian ministry. Okay? As we're all people, you're all called. All of you can do this. But we need to live it. Not everyone can live it. Like, you have to be authentic to live it. Anyone can put on a show. Anyone can preach and memorize a good message. And I want healing. I want a real healthy body. I want community. I want you guys to be able to talk about the hard things and come together as a community and not be broken and divided and oppressed and offended. Come on, our inheritance is so much greater. So I want to see people at the altar today. I want to see y'all. Whatever you need, right? I don't like to make too many specific altar calls or anything unless God specifically says that. But if you're suffering with something, and it doesn't have to be a big deal, you just come up for refreshment and healing and wholeness. And let us minister to you. And do come and talk to me. I want to hear what you're going through. I want to hear what God's doing in your life. And I want to see God move miraculously in your life. And so welcome to revival, guys. Welcome to healing and wholeness. This is the start of a generation that knows who they are in Jesus. Okay, we're all part of it. Everyone in this room is part of it. Okay, what a glorious time to live in.